At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid on this Friday. Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock will get you ready for the fantasy football weekend. We'll talk about some potential changes at quarterback and, of course, recap Thursday night football, also latest in the hot stove in baseball as well. Davis, great to be back with you here on the show. The game was, I suppose, mildly entertaining on Thursday night football. I know I did not get the proper results that I needed from Cordarrelle Patterson, certainly, but what are you going to say? I mean, I honestly thought that we'd be in for a really good game on Thursday night. I was mistaken. And I would guess, listen, the interesting part of this is at least I think the Atlanta Falcons are probably going to be in need of a quarterback change soon. So that will require some conversation from us.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm always honest on this show. We play our cards face up. This game was below my line, Craig. Life is short, and watching the Carolina Panthers and the Atlanta Falcons play in heavy wind and then heavy rain in the second half, below my line. Congratulations to you if you picked up Donta Foreman off the waiver wire, or if you nabbed him in the 18th round of your league. I mean, the guy is our trivia answer to who was the league winning waiver wire pickup in 2022. It's going to be Donta Foreman. Has easily been. I mean, maybe I guess if you got Curtis Samuel off the waivers in week one in a shallower league, that's pretty close. But Foreman, I think it's three straight games or three out of his four most recent games over 15 PPR points. I mean, pretty good for a guy you're picking up off the waiver wire. And DJ Moore got shaken up. We saw Drake London score a touchdown on a ton of my fantasy football benches. You know, I mean, Drake London loves to ride the pine. And we got to be seeing Desmond Ridder soon, I would think.
Yeah, I would think after that game. And listen, the Falcons are still in this thing, so we certainly will see. It depends maybe on what the Buccaneers do this week against the Seattle Seahawks. Let's get to our top stories here on the show. Donta Foreman, another great game, over 100 yards, scoring touchdowns on Thursday Night Football. So naturally, as Davis said, a prime player to have down the stretch, especially for a Carolina team that seems to keep pushing to win incredibly. Clayton Kershaw going to sign a one-year deal to return to the Los Angeles Dodgers, so at least get one more year of Kershaw in L.A. Robert Suarez returns to the Padres on a five-year, $46 million contract. So the Padres are not shying away from spending money, that is for sure. And the Chargers have waived former first-round pick Jerry Tillery. But naturally, a lot of our fantasy conversation going to be focused around this weekend, Davis, in the NFL. I know we have a game in Munich coming up on Sunday. And certainly, I think there's a lot of interesting games and opportunities. And you and I will obviously have one pick at the end of the show. We went head-to-head last week. I haven't brought this up yet. But you and I went head-to-head on our pick last week. Not only did I get a cover on that game, I won that game outright with the New York Jets. So just saying, this is your week. You got to get a big W this week.
Yeah, I mean, and by the way, hearing some pretty negative reports while we're talking about the Buffalo Bills, I at this point would make Case Keenum to be the favorite to start for the Buffalo Bills. So you know, if you're looking to get short on Case Keenum, I believe our friends over at the FanDuel Sportsbook still have the Minnesota Vikings as 3.5 point road dogs. I would guess, we talked about this a little bit on the show yesterday, I think both of us kind of ended that Minnesota would either be favored or it would be, you know, a point one way or the other, where you're kind of just better off betting the money line at that point. But you know what? Just a little bit of baseball here. We don't do very much on the show. We can do it in the intro. Very glad to see Clayton Kershaw re-sign with the Los Angeles Dodgers. I don't want, you know, Madison Bumgarner ending his career for the Diamondbacks. You know, I don't want that. Clayton Kershaw, you got to just stick with the Dodgers. Like, don't go and be, you know, a soft-tossing lefty for the Pittsburgh Pirates or whatever. Like, just when you're not wearing the Dodgers uniform anymore, just hang it up, because Kershaw, probably my favorite pitcher to watch in my lifetime, and very glad to see him re-sign with the Dodgers.
Yeah, listen, there's no question at this point. He's headed to the Hall of Fame. He's done everything possible on the field, winning a World Series, Cy Young Awards. And Davis, he flirted with the Rangers last year, potentially signing with another team. Now, it was a different situation. He was coming off an injured season. I guess he was kind of coming off an injured season this year, too, to be honest with you. But more injured, I think, in the at the end of the season last year as opposed to this year. But I, for one, am with you. Very much looking forward to some hot stove talk as we sort of wind down the fantasy football season. But we still have a long way to go. Lots of regular season and fantasy football playoffs to talk about, no doubt. So stay on the grid for that. And obviously the other story, Davis, that we're going to be following, and we'll come up talking about this next, is I'm like you. I'm one of those people going short on Case Keenum. I think it was probably Tuesday morning, as soon as we were done with this show, I logged on to the app, and I grabbed Keenum, and I'm like, I have Lamar off, you know? So I'm like, look, worst case scenario here, I'll just cut Keenum on Sunday and I'll pick up Carr. And so here I am, maybe having Keenum start on Sunday. I don't even know if it's a great start, to be honest with you, but I feel like amongst the other options, I feel like I got to give it a shot. I know we're going to talk about him, by the way, coming up too.
I mean, I would definitely. I'm not starting Derek Carr. Darren Waller on the IR, Hunter Renfrow out, you know. I mean, that game, like, it's so funny. The Raiders are 30th in DVOA, and they're somehow a touchdown favorite against the Colts. That game is going to be hilarious. But yeah, I would not want to start Derek Carr this week, I don't think.
And that line has crashed down since the beginning of the week and all the negativity with the Colts. I think the Raiders now +5 or -5. We'll talk about that later in the show as well. But coming up next, it's time for us to talk about these potential signal callers maybe starting in bye weeks on your fantasy football team. So stay on the grid. Davis and I will be right back after this. Don't go away. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock with you here on the show. Naturally, this week could look a little strange in terms of signal callers. It looks like, at the very least, there are three situations that are worth monitoring. Feels like one of those situations is going to have a backup quarterback, and maybe two out of the three. And we're talking about really prime situations, or at least in the past in fantasy. And Davis, this is the nature of the beast here. You get to this point in the season, and you're hitting the waiver wire, and it's like, who's really carrying two quarterbacks in a redraft league, in a 12-team league? Probably not very many people. And so these decisions end up being huge, and I wonder if this will factor into a lot of people's playoff runs this week too.
Yeah, I mean, you got to imagine that a lot of teams that were starting Matthew Stafford, probably they're not in the thick of the playoff race unless they cut him and dumped him. But certainly, I mean, missing Josh Allen, a third-round pick, one of the better third-round picks, you know, I mean, was you know, pretty much averaging over 28 fantasy points per game. That is a pretty big deal. And then, yeah, I mean, Kyler Murray, I guess, has been disappointing relative to his baseline, but has been fine enough. I mean, if Kyler doesn't play, And by the way, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, Rondale Moore, James Conner, lots of guys who are pulled into his orbit and going to be affected, which is we don't love that in the middle of the season.
No, definitely not. So let's take a look here at some potential quarterbacks that could be starting this weekend. And look, the Rams situation, you know, honestly is pretty dire. Now, Sean McVay has had experience with a lot of different quarterbacks, Davis. So, you know, Mannion was there in the past too. But this time around, it is John Wolford as, I guess, the possibility here to start. I know that they have another option there as well. And Wolford has not thrown a touchdown in the NFL. So this is obviously not optimal. It makes you wonder, hey, like Daryl Henderson, is he worth the shot starting this week? What happens, by the way, to Cooper Kupp? Boy, if Stafford can't play, that definitely changes the complete dynamic of this. And I suppose there's nothing you can do owning Kupp if Wolford plays. But, I mean, it definitely would be a further downgrade, I guess, to the Rams' offense. The only thing that's been in sync all season is basically Stafford to Kupp. Nothing else has been consistent.
Yeah, so John Wolford has started one game in the NFL. It was week 17 2 years ago. He was pretty bad in that game, as you would anticipate. 38 passes, 22 completions, 231 passing yards, no touchdowns, one interception. Did run for 56 yards, and he ran a good little bit at Wake Forest. 447 rushing attempts, just a shade over 1,200 yards, 10 rushing touchdowns his final season. So he can scoot around a little bit. Cooper Kupp did not play in that game because it was a Week 17 game. No Rams wide receiver had more than 9 PPR points in that game. So you're starting Cooper Kupp. Like, obviously, you're not benching Cooper Kupp, but you can't feel good about it. And Arizona, I mean, as a scheme, kind of what Arizona tries to do is take away opposing top wide receivers. We saw that in the Arizona-Minnesota game. Now, I mean, Justin Jefferson is a force of nature, but he had 6 receptions for 98 yards in that game, which is pretty well below his baseline, actually. So we'll see what happens there. As I said, I mean, under no circumstance can you bench Cooper Kupp, but this might be a week right. that he's getting you, you know, 12 points instead of 22 for sure.
Yeah, which definitely would be a bummer for a lot of folks because he's had a phenomenal year again. All right, let's touch now on the Bills situation. And the latest update today seemed to indicate that this is going right down to Sunday. So if you're like me and you have Case Keenum, you kind of have to be locked in Sunday to make sure that he's going to start, because if not, you're going to need a quick pivot here. Now, obviously, we have seen Keenum play in the NFL, Davis, for a lot of different teams, including Denver and Minnesota. And Keenum kind of reminds me of a guy that comes in, Davis, when, you know, the starter's just not good, gives the team a little bit of a boost, and then sort of regresses a little bit to who he is. His shining moment, of course, I think it's everybody remembers, is with Stephon Diggs throwing that pass and Diggs running for a touchdown. But Keenum, not bad. Something also tells me that Sean McDermott, I don't know, maybe I'm crazy, is going to just play the way that the Bills normally play.
And they're not going to change their, you know, ideology as a team. They're not going to become the Atlanta Falcons where they're running on, you know, 3rd and 4 from their own 9-yard line, as we saw last night. But they are going to trim it back a little bit. And you're right. I mean, in terms of replacement level backup quarterback, I would say Case Keenum pretty clearly one of the, I don't know, 5 or 6 best backup quarterbacks in the league. You know, he has started 64 games in his career, as you would anticipate. He does have a losing record, but has more touchdowns than interceptions, 6.6 adjusted yards per attempt, does not take a ton of sacks, famously, you know, had a winning record with that 2017 Minnesota Vikings team, started a bunch of games for the last year that Jeff Fisher was the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams in 2016. And then has kind of been, you know, in the wilderness since then. Played for a really, really bad Washington football team in 2019. And then won 2 games starting for the Cleveland Browns last year. I mean, he's fine, right? I like, of the 3 guys we're going to talk about here today, I would say Case gives his team the best chance to win. That would be my assertion.
I would agree. And worth watching, by the way. It would be interesting to see, I think, if Allen was out and Keenum was in. Now, I do believe Kyler Murray is going to play this week, but it is the NFL. Anything can happen. And, you know, if he does not, Colt McCoy is the backup there, as he's been. And we've seen him play, Davis, in the past. And I sort of would compare him to Keenum in a way, because it does feel like initially Davis Colt McCoy comes in. What does he do? He throws three touchdowns. He runs around a little bit. And the team ends up winning, and then the next week he throws five picks, and that's the end of it. It just kind of feels like it's that same cycle. Maybe Keenum with a little bit more success long term, but if McCoy was to start, I would think that he probably would be okay. I just have lost so much confidence in Arizona in general that I don't even know that it would matter if he's starting there. I can't figure out what they're trying to do with the Cardinals right now.
I mean, your guess is honestly as good as mine. They are one of the most infuriating teams to watch in the NFL because you get glimpses of how talented they can be. You know, they'll have drives. They run the hurry up. Seven plays, DeAndre Hopkins is open, and then Rondale makes someone miss, and Robbie Anderson's running deep, and Zach Ertz is you know, that safety valve underneath, and, you know, Benjamin's running crazy, and then you just get these awful horizontal plays. Kyler is running around and then doesn't find anyone and throws the ball away, and they punt too much and they kick too many field goals. I mean, Colt McCoy did go 2-1 last year. I kind of remember it was one of those funny things, like Kyler got hurt and you know, we were wondering to ourselves, well, how good is Kyler Murray really? You know, Colt McCoy winning these games. And right. One of them was the game that Russell Wilson got injured in last year, the one where he injured his hand and then Geno came in, just kind of a weird game. But Colt McCoy stinks. I mean, comparing him to Case Keenum, for example, he is a full yard worse in yards per adjusted yards per passing attempt. He has almost more interceptions in his career than touchdowns, has never quarterbacked a winning season in his time in the NFL. He just isn't very good. I'm sure he's a good locker room guy, probably why he sticks on all these teams. You could do worse as a backup quarterback, I suppose. You know, you could have Nathan Peter. But, yeah, if you have any Arizona skill players against the Rams, I mean, you just really have to hope that Colt McCoy is not starting.
But it does it feel like Kyler's going to play? I mean, he did practice, right, yesterday? Am I right about that?
Yeah, I believe he got a limited practice in yesterday.
Okay, so I think there's more hope for him than the others. Obviously, you know, Stafford, definitely concerning. Allen, definitely concerning. Maybe not Kyler Murray as much, but this is that week where if you have these players and it's Sunday morning and you wake up, you got to make sure that you're on social media checking that out from the verified accounts or the unverified accounts or whatever they're doing these days with Twitter and these blue checkmark accounts. Okay, coming up next, it's time for us to dive into the daily fantasy slate for the weekend, and we'll take a look over on FanDuel at the pricing. So stay on the grid with us as Davis and I are back here on this Football Friday in just a few minutes. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time for everyone to get out the FanDuel app because Davis and I are going to help you set a lineup. If you're missing any part of this and you got to bail and you're playing Daily Fantasy this weekend, it's very simple. Just go to dailyroto.com and Davis and the team over there will help you out and get you all set for the weekend. So Davis, naturally a interesting slate as always, especially when you're talking about one of the highest ranked quarterbacks on the season being questionable for the game. This is one of those weeks where you're probably going to have to wait because both, by the way, two of the top five, I'll say, Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, again, both questionable going into the game. I don't know how you can set a lineup before noon Eastern. I think you got to wait.
Yeah, I mean, I am anticipating that Josh Allen is not going to play. We have Case Keenum projected in on dailyroto.com. On FanDuel, Keenum is not that strong of a play, priced at 6,100, not really going to run, probably unlikely to combine for three or more touchdowns on DraftKings, maybe a little bit more usable sitting there at 5,000. Mahomes seems like far and away the guy this week, priced at 8.5, projected for four more fantasy points than anyone else in the slate. Fields, gotta really hand it to our friends over at FanDuel this year. They have done a great job adjusting very dynamically to player performance. You know, I mean, we've seen Kenneth Walker go to the high 8,000s. Fields has kind of been a value option. for the last few weeks. He puts up 45 fantasy points, immediately gets a price hike, and then we, of course, have Tua sitting there at 8.1 against the Cleveland Browns. And to me, really, these are the three guys I'm playing: Mahomes, Fields, and Tua. I just think that they project both from the media's defense, which everything else going on with the Rams, the offense is horrible. Stafford has a concussion, you know, all that stuff. The defense has still been phenomenal. They, you know, no one is really scoring on them. And then you get into a spot of like, you know, we got Derek Carr without Hunter Renfrow, without Waller, and that game is going to be horrible. And, you know, can Daniel Jones run for 100 yards against the Texans? Like, probably not. So for me, it's Mahomes, Fields, and Tua. That's really about it.
All right, let's take a look also at the running back position. The Giants are back off the bye, and Saquon Barkley is the highest-priced running back on the Sunday slate at 9,500. Derrick Henry checks in at 94. Nick Chubb against Miami is at 9. Then we have Alvin Kamara at 8,800. Josh Jacobs, you would assume, getting a full dose this week against the Colts at 8,400. And boy, Travis Etienne has been awesome for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He is priced at 8,000, Davis.
So this week is kind of the opposite of last week. We had our friend Jim Sanis from Number Fire on last week, and we talked about how there were pretty much six running back plays. They were all amazing from a points per dollar perspective, and we really didn't have a ton of interest in playing anyone outside of that. Well, this week, there are really only three guys: Damian Pierce against the Giants, Saquon Barkley against the Texans, and Derrick Henry against the Denver Broncos, who project as really strong positive value options on FanDuel. And so if you like anyone other than that, if you really like Alvin Kamara against Pittsburgh at 8.6, if you really like Travis Etienne at 8,000, I mean, Jonathan Taylor, one would have to anticipate that Jonathan Taylor, he's going to get as much work as he can handle if he is active. You know, I mean, what is easier? This guy calling plays for the Indianapolis Colts has never called plays before. You know, it's a lot easier to call a run. It's a lot easier to call, you know, Jonathan Taylor isolation run to the left, Jonathan Taylor isolation run to the right, than it is to scheme up a bunch of passing. Because one would anticipate that this guy is not 100% clued in on the verbiage, and he's having to ask Ellinger to do it. So I think Jonathan Taylor at 7,000 is pretty interesting. Jamal Williams at 7,400. I mean, DeAndre Swift only played 10 snaps last week. We know he's going to get all the goal line work. And, you know, if one of Henry or Barkley fails, 19 points from Jamal Williams at that salary really might cut it. I mean, you could find winning lineups without huge performances because, you know, I think Travis Etienne is probably going to have tough sledding in a game that the Jaguars project to trail by a lot against Kansas City. Dalvin Cook has that horrible matchup against the Bills. And really, in terms of value, it's like we talked about this a little bit in the last segment. I mean, Devin Singletary could see 20 carries here. This could be the most carries he sees in a game if they run a more conservative offense with Case Keenum. And he's 5,600. I would anticipate him being very popular on FanDuel this weekend.
All right. Now let's check in at wide receiver. And this is where it gets really tough this week, Davis, because again, the top two on the board may not have their quarterback in Cooper Kupp, who is very low this week at just 9,200. Stephon Diggs only 9,100. So how obvious is playing Tyreek Hill this week? You'll tell me at 9,000. Justin Jefferson going up against Buffalo at 8,600. Devontae Adams seems to be the last man standing with Vegas at 8,500. And then DeAndre Hopkins at 8,300 for Arizona.
Yeah, again, I mean, the theme of the week is there just really are only a couple very strong plays, and then you're just kind of throwing darts. I mean, obviously, Tyreek Hill, he is as obvious gets, has a 33% target share, is on pace to break Calvin Johnson's per yardage and total yardage receiving records. Honestly, at this point, I think I would be kind of surprised if he did not get it. Devontae Adams is 8,500. We will see how pass-heavy the Las Vegas Raiders are here, but one would anticipate that the workload that Devontae Adams got last week against the Jaguars going to be very similar to the workload he gets moving forward with all of these Raiders pass catchers injured. You know, friend of the show, favorite of the show, Amon-Ra St. Brown, $6,900 against the Chicago Bears. He will probably be the most popular wide receiver play this week because there just are not a ton of available value options. Christian Kirk is 6,800. Mac Hollins is 5,500. He's probably pretty interesting. I mean, you would assume he's going to have about a 95% snap share. But outside of that, I mean, we are really grasping at straws. Rondale Moore against the Rams. I mean, his role since DeAndre Hopkins has returned has actually been really strong because Cliff Kingsbury, I think, finally realized that Rondale truly can only play out of the slot. He is just not capable of being an outside wide receiver. I really like Juju Smith-Schuster at 7,000, playing him with Mahomes. I think most fantasy gamers will probably play Travis Kelce with Patrick Mahomes. I really like using Patrick Mahomes, Smith-Schuster, and Christian Kirk all in the same lineups. And then a quick note, Treylon Burks on both DraftKings and FanDuel was left at minimum salary due to his stay on the injured reserve, but the Titans are likely going to activate him from the injured reserve this week. Then now they play against the Denver Broncos, not an easy matchup. Who knows how much he'll play? But, I mean, one thing I definitely know from watching the Titans in that game against the Chiefs is they just need something from their wide receivers because they are getting nothing. I mean, how bad did Robert Woods and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine look in that game against the Chiefs? And this is a huge game for the Titans, right? Getting Tannehill back, this will pretty much put them in the pole position to, I mean, they could even get the one seed, honestly, if they go on a little bit of a run here. It's really insane to think that, but with Josh Allen injured, it's possible. So I do like Burks this week at minimum salary.
All right, let's cap it off now with the tight end position. Sort of weak as always, maybe even a little bit weaker this week with no Kittle on the slate, and obviously Darren Waller now probably out for the season, let's be honest. Travis Kelce is priced at 8,500, and then look at this huge drop-off to Taysom Hill, who I now got to start the rest of the season at 6,500. Zach Ertz is 63. Tyler Higbee is 6,000. TJ Hockenson coming off that great week, maybe he's an option at 6,000. And then Greg Dulcich for the Denver Broncos at 5,900. But it's like, I guess you get what you wish for, Davis, because when we first talked about this a few weeks ago, I was like, I didn't believe you, you know? I was like, Taysom Hill, here's what he's going to do. He's going to have a few weeks. I think you said he's going to have a few weeks where he's going to get like 30 points, and the rest of the season he's going to get like zeros. I'm waiting for that another week where he gets the 30. I keep plugging him in the lineup. He's doing nothing every single week, but I know he's got it in him. I mean, I know eventually he's going to pop off and throw a touchdown and catch a touchdown, but I mean, I don't even understand how he's priced at 6,500, I guess, just based on hope.
Yeah, I mean, it's like once a tight end gets to a 30-point game, they're not gonna reduce his salary too much. Now, obviously, Travis Kelce far and away gonna be our top option. I'm gonna be playing him a ton on FanDuel. I don't even really see an alternative. I guess Foster Moreau, he's priced at 5,200. I mean, he's been playing roughly like 95% to 98% of the snaps for the Raiders. Hasn't scored a touchdown yet. But I think that probably is coming at some point. I really like Dalton Schultz at 5,500 against the Packers. He's seen 23% of the Cowboys' targets since the return of Dak Prescott taking back over from Cooper Rush. And Greg Dulcich, 5,900. I mean, 2% owned guy on FanDuel. He's running all the routes. He's really the only guy who plays close to the line of scrimmage in that Broncos offense. You know, Sutton and Judy are just, you know, pretty much deep shots, and Cortland Sutton has 6 receptions the last month of the season, so not a guy we've really been able to count on. So Dulcich is kind of my low-owned tight end stab.
It was only 90 days ago, Davis. It feels like years ago, but it was only 90 days ago we were talking about some guy named Albert O. The Denver Broncos. It shows you how crazy this fantasy football season is. Greg Dulcich, I never even heard this guy's name until he caught that touchdown pass whenever that game was, Monday night, Thursday night, Sunday night. I can't even remember at this point. All right, coming up next, we dive back into fantasy or reality. We'll talk about some of the big games coming up this weekend. Also, make sure we remember that Davis and I will have our favorite pick of the week against the spread. So we will knock that out for you. Then I'll be back with you at 2 o'clock Eastern for Newswire. We'll get our picks this afternoon from Warren Sharp of the Sharp Report. He'll be with us breaking everything down. So make sure you stay on the grid for that as well. Hope you're off to a great start on this Friday. Davis and I will come back next and give you some fantasy reality and our favorite selections of the week as well. So stay on the grid. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
it's time for our pick of the week here as we get ready to wrap up our week with one game against the spread on the season. Maybe we should do a graphic for this. We do this so often. Something to consider. First of all, follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid, at SportsGrid TV for the latest news, notes, information, picks against the spread. That's at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. A lot of fun content we post there, not just from our host, but we have other contributors that post their content there as well. All right, so on the season, Davis and I, through 8 weeks, I believe this is correct because we missed a week. I am 6-2. Davis is 5-3. And the reason why the record is what it is because last week we went head-to-head on our pick. Davis took Buffalo. I took the Jets. Jets ended up winning, not only covering, but winning the game outright. So that's how that went. So Davis is going to get back on the saddle this week. Let's see who you got. Who's your favorite play of this weekend, Davis? Who you got?
Yeah, I have the Chicago Bears -3 points at home. If you hunted, I think you could find a 2.5, but I will be graded on the -3 number. It seems like a problem that the Lions really don't have any good players on offense. That was kind of the thesis of the team to start the year. They were scoring all those points, and the last 3 weeks of the season, they get shut out by the Patriots. They barely limp past the Packers when they score 15 points in that game. Amon-Ra St. Brown, great player, but Jared Goff is who we thought he was. It's kind of like one of those things where I'm going to buy the top because I think the actual top on Justin Fields is even higher. I've been pretty impressed with what the Bears coaching staff has done the last few weeks. I mean, haymaker for haymaker with the Miami Dolphins, one of the best teams in the league last week. And I just think the Bears are – I mean, the Bears' defense is really bad. So if I lose this pick because they give up 35 points to the Lions, not gonna die of shock. But I just want to be betting on Fields here.
Yeah, by the way, I would tell you that if anybody is out there and they are taking the Bears this week, I'm seeing this differently. I think that if you are going to take the Bears, you got to do it now, because on FanDuel, I see this at -150 here, in terms of taking it. So this, I think this is going to 3.5, Davis. I think there's a good chance of this. So if you want to take the Bears, I think you do it now. I don't think any money's coming in on the Lions, at least from what I'm seeing here. Okay, so I will go this week against Davis's favorite team. I will take the Los Angeles Chargers this week. And you may say, oh, why the Chargers? Listen, this is a tale as old as time. If the Chargers are at home and they're a favorite, it is an instant fade because they never cover the spread. In fact, they're probably going to lose the game outright, whoever they play against. And so naturally, as time goes by and they start disappointing Davis, then they get that matchup against the pretty good team. And then all of a sudden, they're 7-point underdogs. You mean to tell me that San Francisco is 7 points better than the Los Angeles Chargers? I don't know if the Chargers are going to win this game outright, but it is Sunday Night Football. I'm not huge on the 49ers either. And what could happen here? They get near the goal line, there's an interception. They get near the goal line, there's a fumble. I think the Chargers are going to cover this game. I think there's a chance they win, Davis. And then next week, guess what happens? Everybody's back in on the Chargers again. Why? Because they're at their best when they're considered to be the worst, which is this week, getting 7 points. I'm taking the Los Angeles Chargers. I don't see a huge difference between these two teams, but always fade the Chargers as a favorite, as a dog. Take them all day long. All right, now time for fantasy or reality. Speaking of underdogs this week, we've got another juicy one here. And boy, this is probably the most interesting game of the slate. And it probably will end up being the worst game of the slate this week. I think we could agree that could be true. As Jeff Saturday makes his coaching debut for the Indianapolis Colts. Now, here's what happened. They fired Frank Reich early this week, Davis. And, there's that tweet coming in from Adam Schefter. It's like, oh, this looks weird. It looks strange. And all of a sudden, the books adjust and make the Raiders 7-point favorites after the firing because they have nobody that could call plays. Then Jeff Saturday, Davis, he does this press conference. He's starting to endear the people out there. The line is going 6.5, 6. We got 5 right now. It is down to 5. Why? Because the Raiders stink too. Fantasy or reality. Make your pick. The Indianapolis Colts will cover the 5 points on Sunday.
Yeah, I got fantasy. I mean, look, it's the NFL. Anything can happen. The Raiders aren't a very talented roster. They're missing out. You know, they're going to have to be playing DJ Turner and Keelan Cole this week. I mean, obviously, Derek Carr. I am generally very short on the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, really would not surprise me if this goes the other way. But, I mean, the biggest signal here just has to be that the Colts are purposely not putting their best on-field product out there. I mean, Matt Ryan, I mean, yeah, the Chiefs blew that game, but he did beat the Chiefs, who are, if you look at the betting markets, they're pretty widely considered the best team in the NFL. And Ellinger has been horrible. I mean, I have seen not one flash of like, oh, you know, Ellinger, maybe. No, I like, you know, with Willis, I was like, yeah, I don't know, maybe there's something there. Like a lot of these young guys, you can kind of see it. I can't even squint and see it with Sam Ellinger. And I mean, also, this is the back against the wall game for Josh McDaniels. If they lose here, that's it. And Craig, you've pointed this out to me. The spreads have not mattered in these games. Like in a ton of these games, like more so, the spreads have just not mattered. Like the favorites have covered or the underdogs have just won outright. So I got fantasy here.
Yeah, I keep forgetting the guy's name, and I'm throwing everybody under the bus here on the show. But there was a backup quarterback for the Colts behind Wentz, not named Ellinger, that they cut. I got his cards graded, and I don't even think he's in the NFL anymore. I don't
Jacob Eason.
Eason. Let me tell you something. I watched Eason play in college, and I watched Ellinger. Ellinger did nothing at Texas. I don't get the infatuation at all with him. And listen, nothing against him personally. I just never thought he was very good in the first place. He didn't do anything there. We're going to talk about Texas coming up. But that being said, it's an underdog in the NFL. I'm taking the points. Now, I will say this. I think that by the time this kicks off, this is 3.5 or 4. I think more money's going to come in, realizing that the Raiders are just not very good. You know, I would doubt the Raiders will be more than a 3-point favorite over anybody the rest of the season. And they're laying 5 points. I got to take the Colts. It's the story narrative that we come back here on Monday and the Colts win and Jeff Saturday is the guy and Parks Frazier is the man. And all of a sudden they're throwing all over the place and Pittman's having a great game and this is the new Colts. Probably not going to happen that way, but I'll go head to head on that one and I'll take Indianapolis on Sunday. Now on Saturday, we're going to have a much clearer 7-point favorite in this game this week. Texas playing great football since they got their quarterback back. TCU, the way that they play is that they sleepwalk through the first half, and then they just go nuts in the second half and beat every team. That's what's happened the last few weeks. So David's fantasy or reality, Texas, who's probably playing better overall, really, than TCU, will end TCU's undefeated season this weekend. If the Horned Frogs lose, they will not be in the playoff.
You know what? It absolutely pains me to be on the side of the University of Texas. Have spent much of my adult cognizant life rooting against the University of Texas Longhorns football, basketball, it doesn't matter. Never want to see glory come to the burnt orange. But yeah, I got reality here. Texas kind of went through a little bit of a tough patch where they basically had no quarterbacks. They were playing their third string quarterback who was injured himself. He was just the least injured of all the scholarship quarterbacks they had on the roster. Now they have Quinn Ewers back. Bijan Robinson looks like one of the best running back prospects I've ever seen in my life. His backup, Roschon Johnson, has also been having a phenomenal year. They have Xavier Worthy. I mean, the Texas offense is really, really good. I'm also intimately familiar with Max Duggan's work because he's just always a guy who ends up in play in college football DFS, and that guy loves to throw a mean interception. I'm not on board with TCU here. I'm on the Texas side. I got reality. No Big 12 teams in the college football playoff this year.
Yeah, I really like what TCU has done. This is a really tough spot for them. And I gotta be honest, like it does feel like they've been doing it with a little smoke and mirrors. I believe Gary Patterson, the former coach of TCU, is on the Texas side too. So there's some extra juice there for as well. As Davis mentioned, Ewers is great. Robinson is great. Personally, this is one of those, it's like, if you feel strong enough with the dog, why don't you think they could win outright? I think the spread is in play in this game. I think it's going to just be bad. I mean, look at the total. It's in like the high 60s. It's going to be back and forth, a missed extra point, a 2-point conversion. I do think this game is going to be really close because, again, it's the Big 12. It's November. You know this, Davis. Nobody's playing defense at this stage of the season. So I probably would take the points, to be honest with you, with TCU. But I do think Texas is going to win a very close game, and that's going to be the end for TCU. And by the way, had Texas not stumbled at the beginning of the season, we would be having a different conversation about that team. I think they're really good moving forward. Probably a team I want to take in the bowl season as well. Okay, so now let's move on to daytime talk show. Very, very popular in Davis's home, watching these talk shows in the afternoon, Kelly Clarkson. Drew Barrymore has a very wildly popular show. I believe it's the highest rated one that is on the air right now. But unfortunately, she's out for a period of time, I believe, with COVID. So this puts her on the shelf for, I don't know, a few days, maybe a week. We will see. And right now, they're going to have backup hosts on the show for her, including 50 Cent and Ross Matthews. Boy, this feels mean. Fantasy or reality? You are more likely to watch a show with 50 Cent and Ross Matthews than the very popular Drew Barrymore.
I mean, I guess reality, but the chances of either of these, any of these programs, any of these people being on my TV for any reason are 0.0. I mean, just like in general, I'm not even really like, how do you find the time to watch TV these days? Like I'm watching Andor because it's great. I mean, Andor may be the best television show of the year, yeah. Actually, not even close. It's that good. But that's about it. I mean, we got the sports are on every single day. College football, college basketball just started, NFL, NBA, NHL, golf is in swing, and the World Cup starts in 9 days. Like, none of this stuff is making it on my TV. It's all sports 24/7. That's it. That's all I have time for right now.
Yeah, and I would say that this is a fantasy because I think Drew Barrymore does do a good job on that show, but I'm not like more likely to watch either. I probably would guess that if after the show, I went on my DVR in my house and I pulled up recorded shows. My guess is my wife has recorded that show. That's one of the things on the list. I would guess that is the case. I don't know that for a fact. I've seen clips of the show. Don't watch it during the day. Dave is 100% right. I mean, how do we have any time to do that this time of the year? So I'm going to say fantasy. I would rather have Drew Barrymore hosting the show. I honestly don't know a ton about this Ross Matthews either. So maybe, I don't know if I'm missing something, but regardless of that, that is a fantasy for me. All right, coming up next, it's time for the Sports Grid 60, and then we got the Early Line Friday edition coming up for you at noon Eastern. I'm back with you at 2 o'clock Eastern for another edition of Newswire. What are the best positions that you should be taking against the spread? Make sure you stay tuned to that. And then, of course, we've got the rest of the day going with Scott Farrell Coast to Coast, and then our great weekend programming here as well, getting you ready for some college football on Saturday and the NFL on Sunday as well. Also, obviously, want to wish all of our veterans out there a happy Veterans Day, and thank you very much for your service here on this November 11, 2022. Our thoughts are without a doubt with you on this day as well. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let me get you ready to send you off to the weekend here from Fantasy Sports Today. Let's turn it over to Davis as he's got some thoughts here on the Sports Grid 60.
All right, I'm going off the beaten path a little bit here today. The voice of Batman from Batman and the Animated Series, and most of the video games, a lot of the animated movies died today. Batman, I mean, probably, well, Craig, I bet you had a fair few bit of Batman. But for me, Kevin Conroy, always going to be the voice of Batman, even more so than Christian Bale and the campy 80s movie. So very sad to hear about the passing of Kevin Conroy. I will be watching a little bit of Batman, the Animated Series, later. I know I said it's sports only, but I'll be skipping the Drew Barrymore show and watching an episode of Batman, the Animated Series this afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, I've not seen the Animated Series, but definitely all the other Batmans. I mean, I go back to Adam West in the 60s and 70s when he played Batman as well. I'll do the same. So when you don't see me on the air, and you know what we have is we have, you know, graphics that air here on the show, sort of to take you behind the scenes a little bit. And so sometimes when the graphics pop up on our screen and on my screen too, well, what you don't see is me leaning forward a little bit, which tells you something about me. I'm going to be 50 years old next year. It's kind of sad. And so part of what I'm sort of fighting with is, do I just keep leaning forward to see what Brett is putting in our graphics department, or do I put like these on during the show? It feels so old to be that guy. It just really stinks to have to consider that I may have to wear glasses during a show. Really? Is that who I am yet? So don't tell anybody, but just keep this between us. And hopefully I can just keep seeing what I'm seeing right here. All right. Happy Veterans Day to everybody. Thanks again to LTN. Michael, of course, helping out today, as well as our producer, Brett Levy. For David Smadick, I'm Craig Mitch. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'll see you back here on Monday.